now gotten to one of our favorite parts of the program, which is called Did You Hear? Where we quiz each other on various news stories from the past week. And so, Derek, I am going to start with space travel.
Space travel's fun. Everybody likes space travel.
This is true.
I don't know what's going on with space travel.
It's not so much what's going on, but what anniversary is happening today, which is that 60 years ago today, the world awoke to learn that the Soviet Union had launched a satellite into orbit, being the first nation to do so. The satellite called Sputnik 1 was nearly 2 feet in diameter and weighed as much as a middle-aged insurance salesman, as it was deemed. This essentially launched the entire world's efforts into space exploration, or as we usually call it, the space race. And this, I will say that though I was not alive for this, this was definitely a very big blow to the knee for the United States, who really wanted to be the first ones to do it, which is actually what kind of lit the fire under the bum to try to put the first man on the moon. And that we did, unless the theories are actually true that it was all done at a soundstage in Los Angeles. But yeah, it is. I don't know. I thought it was very cool. And thinking too that many people, especially comedians that I know, were alive to actually find out about that. I think Derek, that was when you were 30, right?
Yes. Yes. Wait, what? What am I admitting to?
That you were 30 when Sputnik launched.
Yeah, I was 30 when Sputnik launched. Yes, that's... we just got a caller just pointed out something really, really interesting. He remembers listening to BCN, because we were talking about Tom Petty earlier.
Oh, yeah.
And he remembered listening to BCN in the early 1970s, and they were playing tapes of Tom Petty before he was signed to a big record deal.
Oh, cool.
So the tapes that he was putting out in Florida were finding their way up to Boston, and BCN was playing them on the air.
That is awesome.
And if you are old, or if you're as old as I am, and you remember the launch of Sputnik, then you remember WBCN was a freeform station like we are back in the 1970s, and they did play everything. Charles Laquadera, in particular, played all kinds of goofy stuff on his show, and they weren't... A lot of FM radio stations, rock stations, and especially the pop stations, were basically the record companies would come in and throw money at the DJs.
And say, this is what you're playing
today.
Little
payola scandal, and, you know, or maybe you get an 8-ball, and it's like, boom, you're playing this today. BCN didn't really go in for that.
They'd still totally take an 8-ball, but not.
Yeah, but not. So BCN was a station that broke a lot of influential music here in the Northeast.
Oh, absolutely. BCN was, do you know BCN was actually my first time on the radio?
Nice. Yes, you've told me that story.
And it was the 420 question.
We will share that with our listeners again at some point in the future. Yahoo.
Yahoo.
Yeah, nobody's making that noise right now, let me tell you.
Yeah, no. Yahoo.
No, I don't know how you missed this one.
I would say I have something about another internet, but bring it on.
They revealed through their new owners, Verizon.
Oh, God. That you're turning into such a monopoly.
Remember how last year they said 1 billion users were hacked in that breach in 2012?
Mm-hmm.
Nope, everybody. 3 billion user accounts were hacked. If you ever had a Yahoo, Tumblr, or Flickr account, you were hacked. 3 billion users. That's pretty much all of them.
Yowza.
Yeah. So, go change your password.
Oh, speaking of being hacked, whoever made a fake profile under Shea Spillane, please bring it down. That's not cool. That just made me think of that. I went on Facebook. It was like suggested friend. I was like, hey, that's me, the only person with that name because I've looked into it. So, yeah, if you're listening, fake Shea Spillane, not cool. Take that down or you're getting big fat reported. Anyways, what's a good one? Breast exam.
That's good. It's October. Everybody's getting one. It's Breast Awareness Month.
It is, but what...
Excuse me.
Breast Cancer Awareness Month, because every month is Breast Awareness Month.
In my world, it is. I like to be very aware of
breasts. I mean, I'm straight as the day is long, and I'm a high supporter of breasts. They're like stress balls attached to a woman's body.
Can't miss
them. Sometimes a man's.
They're around you every day. Yeah. I'm rocking some good moobs over here.
But, well, to kick off Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Dr. Evelyn Minaya, the Vice President of Women Caring for Women, visited Megyn Kelly on NBC's Today, to explain how to perform a potentially life-saving self-examination for breast cancer using an actual woman to show people. This is the first time something like this has actually occurred on television, and it was at first kind of frowned upon by the FCC, but because it was a medical procedure, they said, or at least on daytime on a major network station. But she also used a grape and a frozen pea to explain what to look for. So ladies, when you're feeling your tatas, trying to make sure they're healthy, look for a grape or a frozen pea, and if you find one, go to the doctor.
So what you're telling me is that there was a boob on daytime television NBC this morning, and it wasn't Megyn Kelly? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, there are actually two boobs, but they were very well contained by a sports bra. But nonetheless, yes, feeling up on NBC's Today. You gotta love it.
Well, it's good. I mean, people should know this and people should do this.
It is, and it's important. And too many women don't understand that you should do that to yourself. They say, touch your boobs all the time. I do. But they say a minimum of once a month you want to give yourself a self-breast exam. And you should get one from your doctor at least once a year.
Yeah, don't rely on your partner to do this for you, because I'll be honest, we're not paying attention to that.
That's not the end game for a dude touching your boobs.
Yeah, we're doing other things. middle finger.
Are we talking about me almost cutting mine off?
No, a week and a half ago? No. We've had that conversation. Middle finger.
In that case, I'm not sure.
You can give it to the pastor in church. So says the Georgia Supreme Court.
That's awesome.
The case involved David Justin Freeman, a homeschooler who stood up when the pastor at the 12-stone church in Flowery Branch asked for all teachers to be recognized. Freeman gave the pastor the finger, then said, quote, "Don't send your kids to the evil public schools. Don't let Satan or the devil raise your kids," end quote. He didn't say that. He shouted that. At which point, a sheriff's deputy removed him from the church. He received a $270 fine for disorderly conduct. The Georgia Supremes erased the arrest, erased the fine, and determined that Mr. Freeman's speech did not constitute, quote, "fighting words," end quote, or a true threat. So there's a legal test down in Georgia of whether or not them's fighting words. And them's not fighting words.
Well, thank God we finally have the precedent for that.
I don't know.
No pun intended on thank God.
I don't know if you want to try flipping off the Monsignor down at Our Lady of Perpetual Suffering.
Probably wouldn't recommend that, no.
But if you're to church in Georgia, feel free to let them fly.
I'm hopefully going to Georgia soon, so that's good to know.
You go flip off a pastor.
Georgia bucket list. Check it off. General Motors.
General Motors. Sales are probably down, knowing what I know about.
This is probably somewhat related to that.
Knowing what I know about the auto industry this year, I didn't hear anything about GM.
So GM announced on Monday that it plans to go 100% electric in the hopefully near future.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, they currently offer one extended range electric vehicle, which is the Chevy Bolt, which I'm sure everyone knows about.
Yeah.
But we'll add two others within 18 months with, quote, at least 20, end quote, to be in the lineup by 2023. In addition, the company is developing a new truck platform powered by hydrogen fuel cells.
They're trying to get ahead of that combustion engine ban that is going to happen in California in 2040.
Yes. Well, and also just trying to become relevant again, I think, is more like it.
No, well, I mean, GM, GM's holding their, they're not the world's top automaker anymore, but they're holding their own. It's been a bad year for auto sales in general.
But it's, well, the thing is, the name of the game right now is to appeal to the people, not to the people who already own cars, but to the people who will be buying them eventually.
Yeah, but millennials don't buy cars. They Uber and they Zipcar. They don't want to own cars. They don't want to own anything. They don't want to maintain anything.
Some millennials do want to buy cars, though.
Where?
I don't know.
Not in Boston.
You always call me a millennial and I own a car.
Yeah, but a lot of the millennials in Boston want to live in an apartment which has zero maintenance that they're responsible for and just use a car when they need one without any of the ownership issues that go along with having a car.
That is fair. I did just spend way too much money fixing my car, and now I'm going to spend way too much money on my new insurance policy. Yeah. Why do I still own a car? Oh, Derek, you're turning me more millennial. Stop it.
Get a motorcycle.
But, yeah. Hey, Mom, if you're listening, I just want it on the record that Derek just recommended that I get a motorcycle. I will text you his address for you to come beat the crap out of him. But no, I can see, well, it's more just becoming hip with anybody because, I guess even non-millennials, even people who do currently own cars are thinking of upgrading. It's like, what kind of car should I get? Oh, GM is doing this cool new electric thing, and there's more and more of those like plug-in thingies popping up everywhere. You know, it's definitely, well, it's one of those things where GM is kind of, no offense, people of Detroit, but in this day and age, it's kind of passé. And this is a way to de-passe themselves, which is not a word, but I'm making it one.
If you live in an urban area or a suburb and you have a short daily commute, an electric vehicle makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah.
Ownership costs are lower, maintenance costs are lower, you're paying more for it up front, but...
You're not dealing with the gas price surges that
right.
very much exist.
Plus no emissions, which is a yeah. huge win for everybody who's around you. If you're out of the country... A car with a 100-mile range isn't going to do very much for you.
Yeah.
And,
this is true.
And that's where
unless charging stations start popping up everywhere, which they have yet to.
Even then, it takes 3 or 4 hours to, you know, on the fastest charging stations to get a charge on there. If you got to drive 200 miles to get to the Walmart, you're not hopping your electric.
Yeah.
You want the range gas gives you.
I will say, though, I am a true believer now in the hybrid because while my car was in the shop, Derek, you know, I had the Ford Fusion hybrid, and good Lord, did I cry when I brought that car back. I had that thing for 2.5 weeks. I filled up when I brought it back to the dealer or to the car rental place, and it still had a good quarter tank.
Oh yeah,
more than a quarter tank left.
If you're in the city with one of those things, you're doing most of your driving on electric.
Oh yeah, because I was gonna say that's the thing. I loved every time that little light went on. And I was like, I'm not even using gas right now. Yeah.
Marilyn Manson
is terrifying. Oh, I'm sorry. Was there more to that?
Yes.
Then I don't know.
Has canceled 9 tour dates. Ooh. After he was injured while climbing on scenery during a show in New York City on Saturday night.
That sounds about right.
Two giant guns mounted on scaffolding fell on the 48-year-old, and the show ended as stagehands frantically tried to pull him from under the props. Manson was taken to the hospital and is resting at home with undisclosed injuries. So he was crushed, Spinal Tap style, by his own stage scenery.
Crushed by his own weirdness. I'm looking at the picture. That's pretty...
We wish Marilyn Manson a speedy recovery, but kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, for someone who... Most of which was lies, of course. But for somebody who once pretended to take out a rib so he could perform... Can I say the technical term for what I think you know what I want to say.
Yeah, no, we'll just say that he took a rib out.
He took a rib out for something.
Yeah.
Supposedly, and took his own eye out, which turned out to be a contact, and got breast implants, which turned out to not be true.
Yeah.
For somebody who is constantly pretending to mutilate himself in some way, it is a little funny for him to actually do it by mistake.
Yeah.
I wish him a speedy recovery. I do think he's incredibly talented, and
I love his music. I love Marilyn Manson. But if you're 48, I am 48 years old, and you know what I'm not going to go do? Climb stage scenery. Okay, not doing it. Sorry.
But I mean the show must go on. I remember watching Christy Brinkley. She was the lead in Chicago the 7th and last time I saw it. She was awful in terms of singing, acting, all of those other things. But she was like in her 50s when she did it, and Mama was still rocking some moves.
Oh, yeah.
She is still a terrible dancer, but I mean, she was like doing what she could do. That's one of my favorite things in the world is that video, the video for Uptown Girl. With her dancing around, and you're like, thank God you're pretty. Tillerson.
Rex?
Yeah.
May or may not have called President Trump a moron.
But have you heard what happened since then?
Well, he's denied that he called... Well, he hasn't denied that he called the president a moron. The story that came out from NBC was that Vice President Pence had to talk Rex Tillerson into staying on as Secretary of State after a meeting with Trump, during which he allegedly called the president a moron. Tillerson's response is that, no, I never thought about quitting, and where I come from, we don't deal with petty stuff like that.
Yes, and well, and that comes after NBC had an article that was had some White House aides describing Tillerson calling Trump a moron and his, quote, fury, end quote, about the ways Trump had undermined him publicly on several foreign policy initiatives.
If you're working for this president, that's part of the job description. You better get used to it, Rex. You got three more years.
I would say, well, and that's, I mean, the thing that bothers me about aides coming forward and saying that is, I mean, while, yes, okay, it's the White House and he's the Secretary of State, we all get frustrated with our boss sometimes and say something in like a huff. And I mean, our listeners know, I also think Donald Trump is a moron. But this man shouldn't be held for one moment of, like, we've all had our and ranting to our coworkers, not thinking that it's going to end up on NBC.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing that happens because the news media is thirsty for stories that make Donald Trump and his administration look bad. Stuff like this goes on in every White House.
Oh, yeah.
The memoirs inevitably come out after the president's gone, if they're honest, where you or the media or some White House reporter comes out with it, talking about all the knockdown, drag-out fights that took place during that administration. The difference now is we get the reporting in real time with gleeful MSNBC talking heads sitting around saying, oh, the White House is in chaos again. And it's like, stop it. Stop it. The White House is running the way the White House has always run.
Well, and especially
poorly.
Especially made me angry that this is even an issue, because with everything that's going on, I think that even if you don't already, even if you're like me where you've never really had any faith in our president, not really in the mood to hear about some high school drama inside of the White House when these are the people that I'm looking to saying, please, oh, please handle these various tragic, terrible things that have happened in the last few weeks, few months. Like, I don't want to hear about some sort of petty feud inside of the White House. I want to hear about them working together to do something.
They shouldn't even have to waste time responding to this, and the media should understand that reporting like this does tremendous damage to the relationships between the people who run this country, who are responsible for keeping us from going to war and taking care of Houston and Florida and Puerto Rico and Las Vegas and every place else there's a major issue going on. Mm. It's counterproductive. Doesn't do anybody any good.
Precisely.
Georgia
is on my mind.
Jeffrey Bezos. I'll give you, because George is a little broad. We'll throw Jeffrey Bezos into this.
Jeffrey Bezos.
Yeah.
That sounds ridiculously familiar. Jeffrey Bezos. Oh, God. I'm at a loss. I just looked over all my notes to see if I could try to stump you, but no dice.
As part of their plan to get the East Coast headquarters for Amazon.
I did know this. Dang it.
See, you're not reading your notes well.
Well, because I have that under Amazon.
And because it was Georgia. Georgia said that they would be willing to break off part of a city and name it Amazon.
This is true.
We're gonna cut off part of a city. We're gonna name it Amazon if you move your headquarters here. Welcome to Amazon, Georgia.
I would say another city actually sent a giant cactus to Jeff Bezos because that's going to get him to put it there.
Was it the Route 1 cactus? No, that's still there.
But then offering big tax breaks. But yes, I can't believe I was like, as soon as you said like Amazon, I was like, yeah, okay. But yeah, Georgetown said it would change the name of it to Amazon.
Yeah.
But so this is because they announced plans to open another Northeast headquarters, calling it HQ2. Ooh, fancy. all of these various cities and regional development organizations have been invited to submit proposals that are due by October 19th.
They realize that Amazon is going to bring nothing but minimum wage jobs and creative ways of not paying local taxes, don't they?
Yes, which is why it's kind of ironic that they detailed like their list of preferences and said they'd like a suburban or urban area with more than 1 million people and a place that will attract technical talent. You're going to have to plan on paying people way more than you want to,
yeah,
if that's your criteria.
Yeah, welcome to the East Coast.
Yeah, right? So one more for me?
Yep.
Dang, that was going to be mine, Derek.
Come oh, sorry.
On, dude. Spain.
Spain. Is this the Catalan Catalan
Catalonia
situation? Catalonia and Spain are in a vicious war of words and some actual pushing and shoving.
Literal pushing and shoving. Yeah,
yeah. Catalonia had a vote on independence on Sunday, and despite the best attempts of well-armed Spanish riot police to break it up, 90% of the Catalonian people voted to secede. And they are now expected to declare independence following a parliamentary meeting on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Catalan has appealed to Brussels to intervene. Brussels does not seem to be in a hurry to do that. And Spain's King Felipe VI, who very rarely appears on television, did go on television.
I was like, oh my God, he's not a myth.
Did go on television to accuse the Catalonians of shattering Spain's democratic principles.
Yes, and well, in reaction to all these votes, there was a really violent crackdown after, you know, there were a lot of people just demonstrating their support for this. And there was a violent crackdown by Spanish police that left 900 people injured.
Yeah, most of them elderly women from the video that I've seen.
Yeah,
they're good at beating up the old women and the children, the Spanish riot police.
Yeah, using batons and rubber bullets.
Yeah.
Cute.
Yeah.
Well, at least no one... At least no one passed.
Last one for
away,
you.
Not yeah. The vote.
Last one for you. Neshoba Brook Bakery.
Neshoba Brook Bakery. Oh, is this the one where you're not allowed to call love an ingredient?
Yes. Yes, it is. They're local. They're in Concord, Massachusetts. And they've been told to change the labels on their Neshoba granola after the Food and Drug Administration ruled that love is not a real ingredient. They had this in their ingredients. Love was one of their ingredients. The FDA had this to say about that. Quote, love is not a common or usual name of an ingredient. And here comes the controversial part of this statement. And is considered to be intervening material because it is not part of the common or usual name of the ingredient. That's love, in a nutshell, an intervening material.
That is actually a pretty apt way to describe love.
I think someone at the FDA needs a hug.
I was going to say, someone at the FDA is really lonely and taking it out on this small bakery.
I understand. Apparently, there were some issues with the cleanliness of their packaging area as well. But
I was going to say, I don't want to say I hope so, because I don't hope that there's an uncleanly packaging area. But I'm saying I hope that it wasn't just like, there's love on that label. We have to attack them.
Yeah, but it's but that's the deal right there. Love is not an ingredient, ladies and gentlemen. Not an ingredient. So says our Food and Drug Administration. 855-915-9636. When we come back, what we know about what happened in Las Vegas and some of the reactions to it and how they haven't been helpful here on WMFO Medford.
I got to know. Nothing. Well, kind of nothing. I think the condom might have broken.
Broken?
Yeah, this is not good.
Okay, relax.
Relax? I mean, what are the chances of that? It's like...
Surreal?
Yeah. This isn't supposed to happen. We're being responsible here.
Okay, well, don't panic.
Don't panic? How can you say that?
Being responsible means having a backup plan, like emergency contraception, or EC for short. When you begin taking EC within 72 hours, it could prevent pregnancy. It's not an abortion pill and it won't prevent HIV or other STDs, but it's a great backup plan.
It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be fine.
What? I thought you'd be the one to freak.
Well, I've got EC.
Oh. Oh, no, that's just great. What's EC?
For more information or to get EC in advance, ask your healthcare provider or call 1-888-NOT-TOO-LATE. That's 1-888-NOT-2-LATE. EC, because shit happens, brought to you by the Pacific Institute for Women's Health.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting in the forest.
Uh-huh.
1 second I'm having a smoke. Next thing I know, I'm face-to-face with Smokey Bear.
Wow.
And he told me it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
Did you know 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous and you're not. Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Shea Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. And then On the Town with Mikey D. We'll be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. Another national tragedy for us to discuss. I have spent far too many minutes, hours on the air, behind a microphone, talking about mass shootings. Going all the way, you know, going all the way back to our TKK days.
Yeah.
I think it was our second show.
It was the
Colorado
movie theater. Yeah, Aurora.
The Colorado Massacre. I believe you were my co-host when Newtown happened. In mm-hmm. fact, I know you were.
Yes, I was.
We suspended the usual format and had people in here, and Phoebe Engel used colorful language to describe what was going on.
Yes, she did. Doesn't really have the radio filter, that one.
And
I still love you, Phoebe, but my goodness, you have a potty mouth.
And here we go again. Multi-millionaire video poker enthusiast Stephen Paddock, 66 years old, killed 58 people and himself and wounded more than 500 from a sniper's nest on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel on the Las Vegas Strip, overlooking the Route 91 Harvest Festival in the center of the Las Vegas Strip. That's what we know.
It's at least what we know.
That's what we know. That's what we can. That's what we can say with certainty.
Yes.
Is that these things happen. And anybody who's out there peddling the false flag operations and the conspiracy theories and the government was in on this, go to hell.
Yeah, shut up.
Go to hell, okay? You know who peddles these things? These are people who can't handle life. These are people
who need to have it be something like that and can't just have it be for a crazy person for whatever reason deciding to smash windows and shoot a bunch of
I don't think any of us can really handle that.
Well, it's not that we can, it's that we have to, because as you just said, this is not some, I remember I was about, let's say 12 or 13 when Columbine happened.
Yep.
And I remember that was the first thing of its kind. Like, that was not a normal average. Like, there was a girl in the 70s who'd done that to an elementary school across the street from her house. But even that was in no way a precedent. That was in no way, like, Columbine happening was this huge, unprecedented deal. And I remember thinking to myself, well, this was so weird. There's no way this is ever gonna, something like this could ever happen again. Oh, like, yeah, why would anyone? And this is when I'm 13 years old. And now, as you open the segment with, I feel like it's become that you have to be able to handle it. You have to, in order to survive in the society, you have to be able to handle the fact that this is going to keep happening, at least unless something is done about it, which I don't even, that's the troublesome thing, is that there are some things that can be done, but nothing too significant. There's always going to be someone who can find a way to find a gun and just snap.
I don't know what kind of a country we have left when our old white multimillionaires are shooting at us.
Yeah.
That's the one thing they never used to do. The old white multimillionaires would sit there with all their money, but they wouldn't shoot at us. They'd kick us off their lawns. They wouldn't let us near them. They'd sit behind the velvet rope, but they wouldn't shoot at us.
They'd yell at you for taking the parking space in front of their house.
Yes. Not enough for Stephen Paddock. And you, by now you may have seen some of the photos. He had 23 guns in his hotel room.
The floor of his hotel room looks like somebody just threw a bunch of guns in the air and let them spread about.
Some of these guns were mounted on bipods. Some of these guns were better than the guns that we issue to our armed forces. A dozen of these rifles, and these are rifles that have a range of between 600 and 3,000 or 600 and 1,800 yards. A dozen of these rifles were equipped with what is known as bump stocks. Okay? Mm-hmm. So what's a bump stock? Well, a bump stock is basically like a shock absorber for your gun. When you're holding a rifle,
it has a kickback.
The butt of the gun is pressed up against your shoulder. And typically you pull the trigger and you get some recoil.
Yeah.
And you have to keep pulling the trigger. The way that a bump stock works is it sort of floats the gun between your shoulder and your finger, so that recoil just keeps pushing the trigger back against your finger. So all you have to do is pull back and you get the equivalent of an automatic firearm.
Mm-hmm.
It should surprise no one to know that he had high-capacity magazines. It may surprise some of you to know that he had security cameras set up outside of his room so that he would know when the police were coming, and that he had barricaded the back stairway so that the only way to approach his room was through the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Paddock, for reasons known only to himself, had set himself up in a luxury sniper's nest with the idea of being able to rain gunfire down on the Las Vegas Strip for an extended period of time.
Yeah, for as long as, and I use the phrase I'm about to use very loosely based on what he did, but for as long as humanly possible. He wanted to, this is not someone who suddenly snapped. This has been planned for a while.
The amount of planning. Now, this is the interesting thing about this, because in the aftermath of this, we hear the usual gun control, gun control, gun control. We've got to get rid of the guns. There is not a single law on the books. There is no law. And I've made this point time and time again. There is no law that will stop a determined individual, maybe a group, maybe a conspiracy, but there is no law that will stop a determined individual from carrying out this kind of an attack.
Mm-hmm.
This is law enforcement's worst nightmare, by the way. If you went and you asked any police chief, any sheriff in a town with tall buildings in it, the one thing that they fear the most, they're going to tell you. Somebody's up in that building with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you have the high ground, you are in a defensible position. And there is very little that law enforcement can do to come up there and get you without putting themselves at risk. Mm-hmm. And as it is, an unarmed security guard from the Mandalay Bay Hotel, who had gone to figure out where the heck this guy was, got shot in the leg through the door. Because Mr. Paddock saw him approaching on
the security
one
cameras.
one of his video cameras.
Well, and that I had said, and I'm sorry, I spoke falsely a few moments ago, because there was an incident like this prior to Columbine, which I think is a very good example of your point, Derek, which was and I'm saying this, I want you to be do you understand very well what I'm saying when I say my favorite mass shooter, just in that I find the story so interesting. I'm obviously not condoning the acts right. of this person, but it, for those of you who don't know, there was a man named Charles Whitman.
Yep. University of Texas.
He's known as the Texas Tower Sniper, and that was on August 1st, 1966, where, just as you said, he found a high point that was very difficult to access by law enforcement and just started shooting people at random. He did not have any particular vendetta. He did not have anyone he was targeting specifically. His goal was just barricade myself somewhere and shoot as many people as I can before I get stopped.
Charles Whitman, I believe, killed 16 people.
He did. That's what I was going to say. How many people did he kill? What I found, including his wife and his mother.
Right. And the important thing to remember about Charles Whitman is, in addition to his wife and his mother, either two or three of the people that he killed, he killed on his way up to the clock tower.
Oh, yes. I was going to say he killed people on the stairway.
He only killed 10 or 11 out in the courtyard, but he held the courtyard for hours.
And it was 17, actually, people.
Okay.
But one of them died in 2001 after having been in a coma for years and years and years.
Now, Whitman had a bolt-action sniper's rifle.
Mm-hmm.
But
mind you, the important thing to know about him, he had been in the armed forces.
Right. He was also trained.
And was a trained sniper.
Yes.
But part of the reason I bring Whitman up as well, which I think is important to think about in cases like this, is that he at least, and I'm in no way defending a man who killed that many people, but I'm saying he at least, the reason he left a note, and the reason that he killed his wife and mother is, what people are saying is the same reason that Paddock sent his girlfriend to the Philippines, because he wanted to keep her away from having to deal with this. But obviously, in the digital age, the U.S. government's going to find her and bring her back.
Sure.
But in the note that Charles Whitman left, he acknowledged that there was something wrong with his brain and that he asked law enforcement to perform a very extensive autopsy on him to see if there was a way to prevent this happening in the future.
And what they found in Whitman's case was that he had a very large brain tumor.
Yes, he had a brain tumor pressing against his amygdala, which is the part of your brain that controls extreme emotions, like, for example, uncontrollable rage.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that's the case with Stephen Paddock, but it does... It does... It's a very difficult topic to speak about as any rational human being, because it does, one of the biggest things I wonder in situations like this is, especially in something so clearly premeditated, so clearly thought out and planned, and this man had a girlfriend. He did this from a hotel that he had stayed at many times and gambled at many times. They had hotel footage of him from 2011 inside Mandalay Bay. And you want to believe that there is some sort of physiological, scientific reason behind this, because it's almost the part that I think is difficult for me or for anyone to handle is that someone just decided to do this.
That is what I've been sort of grappling with.
That's what I always grapple with whenever something like this happens. And I hate that I have to say whenever something like this happens, because it's something that happens so frequently.
We say this way too much. That's a big one here, is trying to figure out, because if you look at what this guy did, he took years of familiarity with Las Vegas, with this hotel, mm-hmm. with the events that take place in Las Vegas, the hotel staff's familiarity with him, and used it to plan an attack for maximum carnage. And if you look at, there are diagrams online that show what the range was of his weapons. If you were in the front of that venue, which is an outdoor stage, if you were in the front of that venue, That is a perfect kill box because he has perfect vision of everybody about 100 feet back from the stage. And they have nowhere to go.
I want
to
say, and those...
There's barriers around them.
And those places are specifically made to make it so you cannot leave.
Correct.
With the intention of keeping you at the concert, keeping you buying things, keeping you keeping the party going, which is it speaks even further to how well thought out this was.
So, with all of that, we have no why. Mm-hmm. And that's the one that... And I don't know that we're going to find one with this guy. There's no social media footprint. Everybody who knows him says, yeah, I was a grumpy guy, but who isn't? There wasn't anything that his family or the gun dealers that he worked with or anybody thought set off any kind of warnings. No red flags with this guy. Just checks into a hotel, kills a bunch of people. Well, why did you do it? What is the reason behind this? Where is the note? Where is the statement? Where is the manifesto?
And that's where, again, I don't know, other than just a sense of satisfaction in knowing, no explanation is going to make anyone feel better about this. But at the same time, there is a sense of closure. That's why I... Again, it's so weird that we're able to just speak so casually and commonplace about this, where I'm like, that's why I hate when these guys kill themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's so weird that I can say, you know, all the times this has happened, I hate it when they kill themselves. I wish they just let themselves get caught.
Well, you know, my theory on this is, if you're planning a mass shooting, please test the guns on yourself first, because you don't want them jamming up while you're in the midst of your killing spree. That's just embarrassing.
But that's the thing, is at least with... people like Elliot Rodger and people like, I always forget his name, which I'm proud to, but the Virginia Tech shooter, people like them had,
Cho.
I was going to say, Sung Cho, I think.
I know his last name was Cho. Yeah.
But at least as much as those were awful things that happened, and I mean, there's a myriad of other examples. There's just the first two that come to my mind at this moment. But as much as those were awful things that happened, there was at least some semblance of peace to be found in that there was some sort of motive provided that we could all point to and be like, you're crazy, or you're this, or you're that, or you're a sociopath, or you're a megalomaniac, or you're a fill in the blank. But with this, it makes it even more frustrating, particularly for the families, for the injured, for the families of the injured, for everyone, for the entire country, to just have no answer of why. And it makes it even worse, as we were discussing before, that in this sort of situation, every single possible possibility comes up. ISIS came out saying that he declared his loyalty to them a month ago.
And that's nonsense.
I know that's nonsense, but I'm just giving you examples of the various things I've read. He had debts that he wasn't paying off despite his great fortune. His relationship has collapsed despite the fact that he had just sent his girlfriend on a trip.
Yeah.
His family history contributed to his drive to kill, even though his brother seems like a normal guy. Well, it's all of these things.
His dad was a bank robber who was on the FBI 10 most wanted list.
But so. I mean, Charles Manson has a natural son who's been interviewed and is a totally normal dude.
Yeah.
Like it, you know what I mean? It's normal enough, dude. He's Charles Manson's son. But it's frustrating to have all of these theories and there are some news sources even saying that, oh, well, if you look really closely in the picture that you can see the guns and his the guns and right before he shoots himself, you can see a note. Well, that could also just be, I'm looking at the picture right now. It could be a piece of paper that is provided by the hotel that
there
has nothing written on it.
There is a piece of paper with a pen on it.
Yeah.
Sitting on a table, but...
But that doesn't mean anything.
If there was a note, somebody...
Somebody would have leaked it by now.
Given that all of these photographs from the crime scene
given that
leaked,
I'm looking at his exploded head right now...
Given that all that's been leaked, if there was a note, we'd know about the note. They're going through the electronic devices right now to see if there's anything in there. But here's...
Which, for those of you who aren't too squeamish,
Yeah, don't. No, we're not telling people where to go find that.
Okay. just saying you can.
In the absence of information, we look for things to blame.
Yeah.
And the knee-jerk reaction of a lot of people is just to blame guns. Oh, it's guns. It's guns. It's guns. There is not a single piece of legislation on the books, as I said earlier, that will stop this sort of thing from happening.
Yeah.
Now, if we had told this guy he couldn't have high-capacity magazines, which I think should be banned, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
He just would have had twice as many guns in the room. If we had told this guy you can't have bump stocks, he would have just pulled the trigger. This is the thing about this.
And if we illegalize guns, there's already so many of them in the black market. If there's a will, there's a way.
You may as well look at this attack and say that this is this man's life's work.
Mm-hmm.
Because he certainly spent more than a year acquiring the guns and planning this out. He had all the equipment that he needed, got it into the hotel very quietly, didn't raise any suspicion with anybody.
And you don't, that's the other thing too, is that I agree with you in that I do think gun control is something that should be addressed, but I agree that it's in the end, unfortunately, it's not really going to make much of a difference.
No.
Because there is, first of all, a lot of times people say things like, well, if he didn't have the gun, then he wouldn't have decided to do it. No, he decided to do it, which is why he got the gun.
Right.
Or the 23 guns, I apologize.
If he didn't have the gun, he's filling up a Ryder truck with fertilizer and setting it off next to the concert. Same result.
Yeah. It's which they found in his car, by the way. Unfortunately, this is... And I do hope, it has not been very many days since this happened. And I do hope that at least a little bit of light is shed, if only for the finding some semblance of peace, or I don't think they'll ever find peace, but finding some semblance of why for the victims' families.
The not knowing is brutal, especially in the age that we live in now, where we expect every answer to be delivered to our fingertips.
Yeah.
But in this case, with what we're seeing so far,
we're probably not going to know.
I think we need to accept the fact that we're probably never going to know what motivated Mr. Paddock.
Short of that, he was insane.
And the only thing that you can do in that situation is just take the facts that you have and ignore the speculation. Anybody who's going to try and give you a reason why, or he was ISIS, or a false flag operation, or any of that, no.
Well, and that's the thing, is that I agree. Until there's, if that piece of paper has some sort of explanation on it and it gets leaked, which, like we said, it probably would have been by now, until something that ironclad, until something, everyone should just, and this is, I think, the problem whenever something like this happens too, is that I remember Elliot Rodgers' name, as I illustrated before. I don't remember a single name of one of his victims. And that, unfortunately, has become, because this has become so commonplace, the...
I don't have it in here. There's no way for...
That, unfortunately, has become the kind of common theme of these things happening is that we end up focusing on the wrong thing, because it's like, ooh, let's focus on this crazy person and see why he did this, instead of let's focus on what we can do to support these poor people that has happened to, and what, if anything, we can do to prevent this happening again. And unfortunately, I mean, the only thing, I've been racking my brain about this ever since this happened, and we're getting closer and closer and closer to having every single building be like a government building, where you have to put everything through a scanner and walk through a metal detector. That's pretty much the only way that you could prevent anything like this from happening.
It would be a very interesting shift in America.
It'd be super expensive way too.
It would be a very interesting shift in America if, after events like this, we remembered the names of the victims and not the names of the perpetrators.
Which is why one thing I will say that I do like about the news coverage is I think we are at least slightly shifting towards that, and that I've seen many more articles than I have in the many situations like this in the past, solely focusing on the victims. And I think the first time we saw that was in the shootings at the nightclub in Miami last year, and this time even more so. But I do hope that that this is something we will at least partially shift towards, because I hate that I remember the name Stephen Paddock.
Yeah.
And that I will forever.
I must, as it is in my nature, point an accusatory figure to Massachusetts congressional representatives Seth Moulton and Catherine Clark, both of whom made a big show of not participating in the moment of silence in the House of Representatives to honor the dead, because they say that doesn't do anything. That's not changing anything. Well, you know who else isn't changing anything? Seth Moulton and Catherine Clark, who in their time in Washington, D.C., have neither introduced nor sponsored a single bill that would impact gun laws in the United States. Not a single gun bill has been introduced by Seth Moulton or Catherine Clark. They are the first to jump up and say, look at me, and talk about how we have a problem. But they are not the first to file legislation to do something about it. And just as Colin Kaepernick lost my respect when he did not vote in last year's election, Seth Moulton and Catherine Clark lose my respect when you stick your neck out on an issue and then you don't do the most basic thing you could possibly do as a U.S. representative and file a piece of legislation.
And
where is the Catherine Clark bill to ban high-capacity magazines? Where is the Seth Moulton bill for expanded background checks? Where is the Catherine Clark bill to ban bump stocks? Doesn't exist.
And you know what? Beyond that, they are wrong in the fact that in saying that it doesn't do anything. Because, no, it doesn't do much. But at the very least, it provides a little bit of comfort for the people that they're representing.
That it does. And it shows respect, and it shows concern, and it shows that we are unified.
Shows solidarity.
Shows that we're unified. 855-915-9636. It is WMFO. When we come back, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest things from the past week here on WMFO Medford.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. For many years, you know I've had a drink problem, and I'm trying to battle that problem every single day. But one thing I don't do, I don't drive my car when I'm drinking. I get someone to drive me. Do not drink and drive. It's the stupidest thing. If you drink, just don't drive. Not only are you going to hurt yourself, you may hurt some other person, and you wouldn't want that on your conscience, would you?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome.
WMFO, you are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, is Derek Gary. And we are now at our point in the show where we say our favorite thing from the last week. And while we're very unhappy about the very unfortunate incident we were just speaking about in Las Vegas, I do love seeing the tremendous amount of people who have come out to donate blood to help the victims who are still in the hospital, still recovering. And you can, while you may not realize this, you can donate blood all over the country that can still be allocated to Las Vegas despite it being so far away. In order to find that out, where you can do that, there's a full list of United Blood Services locations online, and they're the ones that are kind of taking control of this whole thing. You could also make an appointment to give blood and platelets through the American Red Cross, through the Red Cross Blood Donor app. Yeah, 2017, they have an app now. But you could also make an appointment online or over the phone at 1-800-RED-CROSS. And no matter what blood type you have, no matter where you are in the country, you can help. And the same goes for Puerto Rico as well. So it's, and I've seen an overwhelming amount of donations coming through. I read an article about this, and really, everyone who's donated, thank you. You're great citizens. And everyone else who hasn't, there's still time. You can still help.
Shout out to the caller who we just got, who pointed out that, yes, Roy Orbison was there for more than just his vocals, but also pointed out that...
He's a little late on that, isn't he?
One of the reasons... Well, he was calling to talk about the guns that we were just talking about, and he pointed out correctly, you know, one of the issues that we have is if you're not in the South, nobody really cares what you have to say about guns. You know, and I agree with that. That is Southern legislation, Central legislation, Northwestern legislation. But I would like to see Catherine Clark and Seth Moulton sign on to some of that legislation and say, I'm putting my reputation down with this.
Agreed.
All right, I'm going to shock you with my what's hot. Because normally I come in here and I'm talking about, like, hey, you know, Legos, or hey, go see a horror movie. I'm going to talk about yogurt.
Yogurt.
If you can find it, because the second this stuff hits the shelves, it is gone in the supermarket. So you got to get there early in the day if you want to get it. Yoplait has a new yogurt out. It's called We by Yoplait. And it is an authentic French-style yogurt. Here's what's in it. Milk, yogurt culture, cane sugar, non-GMO milk, by the way, and fruit or natural flavoring. Mm-hmm. The cool thing about it is it's made in the French style, but every package is its own little glass. You know, it comes in a little jar.
Mm.
That's how they make it. So instead of mass producing yogurt in a giant vat.
Oh, so each one is like its own individual. It's like almost a craft yogurt.
They throw the milk and the culture and the stuff into the jar.
Oh, and my goodness. 8 hours later, it's delicious.
You've got yogurt. It is fantastic.
How much does this cost?
It's more expensive than your mass-produced yogurt. I think it's like $1.30, maybe $1.50 a jar for this stuff.
Oh, I would totally. I mean, that's worth it to get.
As opposed to like the 89-cent stuff.
Artisan yogurt.
But that's exactly what they've gone for with this. And it is creamy and delicious and awesome. And if you see it in your supermarket, do not hesitate to try it.
Get on that.
It's good. It's really, really smart.
And now for our thing that happened, which is our weirdest story from the last week. This one is especially close to my heart because my first name means honeybee. Tens of thousands of bees, not exaggerating, were found hiding in the walls of a New Jersey home. The Hillside, New Jersey homeowner said he didn't realize just how bad the problem was, but when a beekeeper opened up the walls of his home, there were 30,000 bees inside.
Yeah.
The beekeeper also found, get this, 40